across you, and like that crowd on TV does, it don't work that way. But I just wish God could be as real to you as He is to me. And we was talking this morning about Donnie getting killed, that freak accident, and Diane said to Laura, said that could have been me back in August. But just as very easily today, I thought about that when I got the news from Brother Ricky Chapel. I thought, you know, that deal, when my wife had cancer 10 years ago, I could have been sending out those kind of news of the severity like Brother Rick is. And I thought, God's been good. I look around and I think, you know, economy's terrible. Everything you look around the world looks at, the world's trying to hang on to, is falling apart. Hey, some midget over yonder in Korea trying to blow up the world. There's another midget idiot over there in Iran, and he's going to blow the world up if he gets a half a chance. And we sit back in Washington on our thumbs and said, oh, everybody loves us, we're going to be all right. God's chosen people over there, Israel's begging somebody to help them. And really what they're doing is God's just using them as a tool to see, get some folk on their sides, what it is. But I'm glad when I look around this morning, I wasn't saying, boy, what's to wonder about that power bill? I tell you what, I wonder about this, I wonder about that, I wonder about that deal over yonder in Korea, I worry about all that. I didn't worry about it. I said, boy, God's good. Boy, He's good, He's good, He's good, He's good. Amen. And He took me to this verse over in Romans chapter number 4 this morning. If you'll take your Bible, we're going to look in Romans, and then we're going to look in a place over in Kings, and then we're going to look in a place in Genesis, and just going to look at these three places, and we're going to see which way the Lord leads. I've got an outline outlined in my Bible that I preached before. I don't have it recorded that I preached it here, but I probably did at some point. But in Rome, if you heard it before, you just sit there and act like, as Mr. Roberts used to say, Mr. Lighton used to say, just sit there and act like you ain't never heard it before and shout it out anyways, all right? Romans chapter 4, verse number 17, and I know I used this verse in a message not too long ago, I think, but I say something happened not too long ago, and my wife reminds me it was 5 or 6 years ago, so you can't go by me. But Romans 4, verse number 17, I want you to look at this verse very carefully. And then we're going to look in Genesis at the verse that coincides with this verse. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now I want you to look, there's a comma right there, because Paul's writing a letter here to the believers in Rome. He's writing here to people, and he's trying to encourage them, and he's trying to give them some background history of how good God has been to the Jewish people. And I put a little note over in the side edge of my Bible about Romans. It says that this chapter talks about the faith of Abraham. If you know much about history, or you Bible either one, you know that Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. Say amen on that, right? Look here again at this verse, and I want this to soak in on your brain a little bit. And call those things which be not as though they were. And what he's saying here is simply this, on the inspiration of God, he's writing this down. He said, what Abraham's faith really was, is Abraham took God at His word, and he believed that what God was going to do was just as good, Brother James, as already done. That ain't deep. You ever told anybody to ask you to do something, say it's as good as done? It's as good as done. Brother Tommy Cook called me New Year's Day. Me and Diane was out of town, called me New Year's Day. He said, preacher, I don't know how to do this. Hate to put you on the spot. He said, I got to have two caskets. I said, you got to have two caskets. He said, yeah. He said, hospice is giving my daddy days to live. and my mama's in such bad shape, I know it's just going to be any minute, so I'm just going to go ahead and tell you now, get you prepared, I got to have two, and I don't know exactly when I'm going to have them, but I got to have them. You know what I told him? I said, it's done. He said, what do you mean it's done? How much time do you have to have? I said, I got two sitting in the shop right now, Tommy. All you've got to do is call me when you need them, and I'm going to bring them. He said, well, they'll have to go to Greensboro. I said, call me when you need them. What I was telling to my friend Tommy Cook is, this is good as done. Whatever you need, this is good as done. If Ricky Chapel, I texted Ricky Chapel. I said, Brother Rick, I said, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say. There's really nothing humanly I can say. I can say this. Whatever you need, you call me. If Brother Ricky Chapel had a call, now I love y'all to death and I'm your pastor. Now I want you to take this in the right way. If Brother Ricky had a call me this morning at 6 o'clock and he said, Brother John, I'm going to tell you, I'm just so messed up. He said, I can't preach this morning and I don't know, I ain't got nobody else to call. Do you know anybody I can call? You know what I say, Brother James? You just called him. You got him on the hook right now. He said, but you got your church. I said, look, I got a man to take care of my church for me. You need me. I told you it's as good as done. You know, I'd get in the car and I'd be in Sanford preaching right now this morning. You say, wait a minute, you're our pastor. You're supposed to be here. I'm supposed to go where God tells me to go. Now, God said in Abraham's life, honey, Abraham said, God said it. It don't make no sense at all, but I believe the answer is already on deposit in heaven and all I got to do is go draw it out. If I told you today I got a bank account set up in your name, James Evans, I got a bank account set up in your name over yonder to the credit union, and it's got $10,000 in it, and it's yours. You can get it anytime you want to. Now, would you say, well, I believe that when I see it? I believe you got enough confidence in me, you say, Brother John, I don't know what to say.
That's right.
Because you know what I'd be saying? This is good as done. Mm-hmm. It's there. All you got to do is go draw it out. If you want, if you need any of it or all of it, you go get it. It's yours.
Amen.
Now see, that's what God does for the believer. He's got an account in heaven that's got every blessing you'll ever need in it. All you got to do is go draw it out.
Right.
He's got every answer you'll ever need already on deposit in heaven. All you got to do is draw it out. You know what? The healing for your physical body is already in heaven.
Amen.
All you got to do is draw it out. I know I'm getting on some dangerous ground with some folks. That's all right. I started to bring a ladder up here this morning, honey, because I knew I wanted to get on this pew so bad. I might just jump up there anyway because my knees are feeling the best they've felt in years right now today. But I'm going to tell you, whatever you need, you believe that today. I believe that today.
Right.
You got to believe it as it's already done. Hey, if God said it in His Word, He said He withhold no good thing from us, didn't He?
Amen.
You say, well, I want a new car. Maybe you don't need a new car.
Right.
If you would waste it, and you wouldn't use it for the glory of God, and it'd keep you out of the house of God, He ain't going to give it to you.
Amen.
You see, that's why we say, well, there's a lot of things I asked God for that He never did give me. He knew you couldn't handle it.
Right.
Some of y'all are praying for $1 million. You ain't going to never get it because you'd waste it.
Right.
Ain't that right? That's exactly, I know what I'm talking about. God knows what we're going to do with it, amen? You say, well, I just know that if I get this, I'm going to use it for the glory of God. Preacher, that God can count on me. Well, I tell you what, if He can count on you, it's already on deposit in heaven. But if He can't count on you, don't go looking to draw it out because it ain't in there. Genesis chapter 17, I saw this morning. I told my wife, I just amazes me how I read something this morning in my regular devotions this morning when I was just sitting there in my study reading my Bible. And God showed me something that I had never seen before. And it was in 1 Corinthians. I preached that whole chapter. I taught that chapter in Bible college. I tell you what, I've read it so many times. But this morning, God put His finger on it and said, that right there is what I've been trying to tell you all along, right there. Go over in Numbers and look at that reference right there, and you're going to get some encouragement. You know what? I got some encouragement this morning, honey. God, help me this morning. Look over there in Genesis chapter 17, verse number 5. Here we are. We're talking about Abraham again. In Genesis 17 and 5, it says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations you might be one day. Ain't what it says. For a father of many nations I'm going to do that if you'll do X, Y, A, B, and C. No, it don't say that. He said, for a father of many nations have I made thee. He said, he already done it. I made you a father of many nations, Abraham. Hey, Abraham, say, don't worry about Abraham. I've already made you a father of many nations. You say, I ain't getting it. Well, I wish you would get it. Amen. I wish you could get a little bit of this morning. It'll help you. I wish I could just put like flour on my hands and blow it out there on you and y'all get something on you. I tell you what, I got something inside of my soul kicking around this morning and I got to thinking about this thing. Boy, God's got what we need. And I couldn't think of but one passage this morning, and I didn't have time to look up a lot. But I thought about one passage this morning, Brother James, and you preached this in Sunday school the other morning. And I don't want you to think that I'm trying to go back and redo something you did. That ain't what I'm trying to do. It just so happened God lined it up that way. I preached on something while you was out of town the other day that you just used in Sunday school the other week, but I'm just following God. There must be some good stuff over there about Elijah and Elisha that God wants these folk to get a hold of, amen? But look over here with me in 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm going to try to bring this little thought out. I'm glad that what I need's already took care of, aren't you? I'm glad that what I need's already took care of. I tell you, and whatever you need for Stephen's already took care of. Do you believe that? Let me ask you this. I ain't trying to get into business or nothing. But I don't believe that y'all have missed a meal yet, have you?
No.
You ain't? The lights are still on in the house. Ain't that right? Ain't that something how all that stuff works out? Hey, some of y'all sitting here this morning, you don't know if you're going to have a job tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to have a job a month from now, 6 months from now. You ain't got no idea. Guess what? God's already got the answer. Why don't you just keep living? Just keep living by faith and just keep living and going right on. You know what? I've had jobs and I ain't had jobs. Guess what? I'm still going on by faith. You know that? I like what old Marvin West says. Every time he sends me a text or something, an email, he's put signed up, living by faith. I thought, praise God, what a good thing just be thinking, I'm living by faith. I usually sign everything, I'm working, I'm walking, I'm looking up. But you know, I'd be better off I just living by faith, amen? Living by faith. You say, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. God's got what you need already there. You're living by faith, amen? Are you living by faith this morning? I'm learning how to live by faith. You say, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to live by faith. You're supposed to live by faith every day, but some of us just getting around to learn how to do that. Now, I've tried to tell y'all, I've tried to help you. I really have. God has really put a burden on my heart about just really nailing some things down in these last days that we're living in. And God's given me a message for the night on restoration or rejection. And I want to encourage you to try to be here tonight at 6 o'clock if you can, because you'll get something that'll help you, not because I preach it, but because it's coming out of the Word of God. Should we restore or should we reject? God will help you tonight if you'll come back and hear that message. But look here with me. Where are we? 2 Kings chapter number 6. Is that where I said?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad we're on the same page. Look down in verse number 13 right here. And he said, go and spy where he is. Now here they are. They're looking for the man of God. The enemy is looking for the man of God. By the way, if you want to serve God, let me tell you this, God's not only got everything you need already set aside, but the devil's already spying out where he's going to try to attack you. And you might as well just go ahead and get it settled. You say, well, I'm going to sit here and be real still, and the boogeyman can't get me. Guess what? You can sit still, run, cry, whine, yell, shout, holler, whatever you want to. The devil's still got your number, friend, and he's going to find a way. He's going to try to find a way to get in your home. He's going to try to find a way to get in your marriage, mess everything up. He's going to try to find a way to get in your youngins, mess your youngins up. Guess what? God's already got what you need. Which one are you going to draw? What bank account are you going to draw out of, the devil's bank account or God's bank account? Amen. You better go to God and say, God, God, I need... You know what I got doing this morning, honey? It's the craziest thing in the world. It's the craziest thing in the world, but it made all the sense in the world because God showed me that verse right there. I just went ahead and started thanking Him for stuff we ain't even got yet. Because I believe it's already in deposit in heaven. I just started thanking Him for things. Lord, thank you. Thank you for letting us meet that man yesterday. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I know what you're going to do. I just know. I'm like a youngin' at Christmas. I know what he's going to do. I just know what he's going to do. But he's going to do it in his time, ain't he? Amen. He's going to do it in his time. Hey, you're looking for that good job, and you keep going for interviews, and you keep interviewing until you're done. Interviewed out. Guess what? Let me tell you what you need to do. Quit looking and call God. I ain't saying, now, amen. I ain't talking about lay around, be lazy, and don't do nothing. I'm talking about quit stressing out about it. God opens the door. Have enough faith to go through it. That's what I'm saying. Amen. Hey, it might not be the job you want, but it might be the job you need. It might not be the job paying the best, but it might be the one that's got the best. Amen. Now look here with me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. This jackleg preaching here. Kill a preacher, man. And he said, go. Look at verse 13. Go and spy out where he is, that I may see him and fetch him. Yeah, you want to fetch him, all right. Fetch him back in chains. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore, seeing he hear the horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now stop right there for just a minute. Look back at verse number 14, a very pivotal thing right here that I think it's easy to overlook. Notice he said, how shall we do? He didn't say what we're going to do. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm getting about sick of Christian folk that profess to be saved saying, what we going to do?
Right. Exactly.
We're going to do what we've been doing. That's what we're going to do. Right. Hey, you know, I've seen, I'm not happy about it. You see people come, you see people go. Somebody leaves the church. It's always somebody run. What we going to do now? Mm-hmm. What do you mean, what we're going to do? We're going to do what we've been doing. Amen?
Right.
Not what we're going to do. How shall we do? In other words, let's go on from here. Amen? I tell you what, you don't need to be wondering about what. Don't worry. It ought to have been settled what you're going to do. So how you going to go about doing it? Amen? It ought to be settled about how you're going to do it, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. Amen? That's what you need to say. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now that's the problem with his eyesight, ain't it? He's got a problem with his eyesight. Now he's looking at one thing, but the man of God's seeing something else, ain't he? Now look here with me. It said, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Woo! How about that? Now they sent the enemy dying. The enemy's got them surrounded. I mean, they like in the Wild West days. They're totally surrounded by the enemy. What are they going to do now? And then that servant gets up and gets to making that coffee that morning on that campfire, and he's out there scrambling up some eggs, and all of a sudden, for some reason, he looks up and he says, Lord, have mercy, where'd all this crowd of folk come from?
Yeah.
And he goes in there and he wakes up the man of God, and he said, hey, boss man, said, man, we are surrounded. There's the enemy all around us. He said, there's chariots and horses and everything up there. What are we going to do?
Yep.
No, he said, how shall we do?
Right.
And he said, don't worry, son. He said, them ones with us is more than them with them. Ain't y'all glad today that the one that's on our side is greater than the one that's on his side? Amen. I believe the Bible says over there somewhere that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do about that place I work. It's just full of a bunch of evil people. Hey, why don't you just let your light so shine before me? And amen. You say, they'll run me off. No, they won't. You just think that the devil wants you to think that you've been drawn out of the wrong bank account. Say, God, I want you to help me today to go in that place tomorrow and have a smile on my face and be shouting the victory, even if I got to shout silently, amen? People look at you and say, what are you so happy about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Boy, we had the most wonderful day in church yesterday. And about that time, they're going to be saying, oh, Lord, I wish I hadn't ever asked a man. You know, they used to say, boy, I tell you what, I got so stoned out of my mind last night. Hey, just tell them you come to church and got all drunk up on the Holy Ghost, amen? Hey, hallelujah. Ain't you glad you come to the house of God today?
Amen.
Elisha said, there's more with us than there is with them. And then he realized something, Diane. He said, wait a minute, God. He said, okay, I understand now. He don't see it the way I see it. Now, there's two ways to see things. Let me give you some things real quick. Elisha saw the promise of God.
Yeah.
All the servant saw was the danger,
right,
and defeat,
yeah,
and discouragement. Now, wherever you're sitting at today will depend on what you see. And I'll tell you, the more discouraged you get, the more discouraging things you see. The more defeated you are, the more defeatable things, the more things of defeat you see. But if you say, look, I'm on the Lord's side. He's on my side. Praise God, they sung it a while ago. I'm on the winning side.
Hey, Diane sung that song about I'm blessed. Amen. Ann sung about that, about how He made all this stuff. Hey, that's the God we serve today. Amen. Hey, I got to thinking over there a while ago when you were singing. I was trying to pray and I was trying to listen to you sing. And I got to thinking that's the same God I serve today. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what you see when you're defeated? When you're defeated, all you see is everybody's quit.
Right. Preach.
I see a lot of preachers, and I know a lot of preachers that's quit.
Amen.
I ain't talking about they went on to other works. I'm talking about they just plain old quit on God.
Right.
I had bumped into a friend of mine down in the courthouse several weeks ago, and he said, wait a minute. He said, are you preaching right? You're still preaching right? I said, yes, sir. He said, I bet I know what kind of preacher you are. I said, what kind of preacher you think I am? Some people think I'm a snake handling preacher because I get a little excited. I said, what kind of preacher you think I am? He said, I bet you want them independent, fundamental, Bible preaching Baptist preachers, ain't you? I said, I sure am. He said, I used to have a good friend that was one of them kind of preachers. I said, well, you mean you're used to? He said, well, he did good. He preached like that. He preached hard like you boys will preach old crazy hard preaching, running all over the place, spitting on everybody. And then he said he got to be about 55, 60 years old. And then he said, oh, wait a minute, I'm in trouble. I ain't got no retirement. And then he went and joined himself up to the Southern Baptist Church so he could get some retirement when he got a little bit older. He said, what do you think about that? I said, I think it's an abomination before God and it makes God sick. That's what I think. And I think that's the way I feel about it still today, amen? If you'll change your colors just for a paycheck, you know what you are? The Bible calls them something. A hireling's what you are. You're a hireling. You will go wherever the money's the best, amen? You can always tell a good old Bible preacher he'll go where the money's there or not, amen? When I first come out here 15 years ago, they gave me a $30 offering. The first time I was here, I said, hallelujah, I get to have all this fun and get paid too. Glory to God, man. And we went to McDonald's, spent about every bit of that $30 all at one time. Hey, man. Hey, you know, I see a lot that quit. When you get defeated as a church member, as a person in church, you get defeated you and discouraged. All you'll see is the ones that don't come here no more. That's all. You look around you and you won't see the new faces. You won't see those that have returned. You'll only see those empty spots where people used to be. And you'll look out there and you'll see empty pews and you know what? You'll get more and more and more discouraged. You know what happens when you get more and more discouraged? You quit doing anything. Y'all ever watch any daytime TV? Y'all ever notice what kind of commercials on the daytime TV? If you took this drug and it made you sick, call this number. We got some money for you. If you got hurt at work and you're having trouble getting your workers' comp, call us. We'll fight for you. If you got hit by a transfer truck riding a moped, call us. We'll help you. Amen? It's either that our Colonial Penn life insurance.
Yeah.
You know, I don't quite understand that. They always make a big deal about the government's only going to give you $215 to bury your loved ones. I'm not counting on the government to bury my loved ones.
Right, that's right.
I never have given a thought that the government was going to bury my loved ones.
Yeah.
And it's only the one spouse, by the way, if you don't know that. Brother James, if you go first, They'll give us this annual $200-some dollars. And we're going to go spend it all at McDonald's. But when she kicks out, they ain't going to give no another $215 to Philip. It's over, one time shop. By the way, I'm full of wealth of information. The older you get, the more you learn about dying. You learn about all kinds of sicknesses you didn't even know existed. All kind of big words you can't even pronounce. Amen? Hey, you look around, you see, you get defeated. You know what you see? You see evil abounding. You say, it's just no use, it's evil about it. People not were interested in getting saved anymore. Yes, they are. Hey, man, they still are. Hey, there's still people hungering and thirsting for the Word of God. You look around and you say, you get defeated and discouraged and all down in the dumps. You know what? You look around and you say, man, I remember when old so-and-so used to sit there. Their family's all broke up now. I remember when old so-and-so used to be here and their family's all in disarray now. You know something? Hey, I see a lot of discouraged preachers throwing in the towel. Pastors that once stood and served God, and now they just say it's no use. It ain't no use to do this. Ain't no use to keep doing this. I tell you, there's still a cause. Amen. Amen. I'm like David and Goliath. There's still a cause. You know, tell you what you need to see. I'm gonna tell you what you see if you look through God's eyeglasses. Let me tell you what you see real quick. Let me give you some things. You know what I see? I see new converts. Amen. You say I don't see them. I know where they are. Amen. I see them. Amen. Hey, you say, well, I ain't heard nothing about nobody getting saved here lately. I led a man of the Lord to my office, a little office downstairs not too many weeks ago. Yeah, so you didn't tell nobody about it. It ain't none of your business. They want you to know about it, he'll tell you about it, amen. Hey, I got news for you today that folks are still getting saved by the good grace of God. You know what I see? You look around and you say, well, I see these folks that didn't stick. You know what I see by the faith and by what God showed me? I see God's purging His bride. He's preparing His bride. That's what He's doing. You say, well, I don't know why some people start church and then they just kind of fall out. Well, God's purging His bride. I hate to say it, but it's true. Isn't that the reality of the thing? Amen? Hey, the Bible tells me, even Jesus over there, and you know, always remember this reference, John 6:66. John chapter 6, verse 66, is when them disciples walked off and left Jesus, and Jesus looked around at them few that was left, and He said, are you going to go away also?
Right.
He said, wait a minute, that was Jesus. Absolutely. What do you expect? He said, if they'll do this to a green branch, what do you think they're going to do when the tree dries up?
Right.
Amen. We're living in the day of a dried up tree. I got news for you, friend. We're living in a day. You've got to look by faith if you're going to see God doing anything. I still see those when I look by faith, those that are still hungering for the gospel.
That's right.
Amen. Them boys in the Philippines want me to go over there so bad. I hear tell about, I forget how many, it was a missionary over there, an American missionary went over there, and I believe he said, somebody, another preacher friend was telling us, they was reading his prayer letter, and I think in 2 years they'd had something like 2,000 saved in 2 years. People are hungry for the Word of God. I talk to these Rock of Ages boys and they talk about leading these men to the Lord in prison. And I thought, man, that folks are still hungering for the Word of God. I put up a prayer letter back there, a Spence Powell there in Cleveland, Tennessee area, in that county, going into the schools, amen. Going in, they got a program up there. If a child gets in trouble and goes to juvenile court, they can defer them to their program. And guess what? Juvenile crime dropped 80% since they started that program there. Somebody must be hungry for the Word of God. I see people coming to this church hungry for the Word of God. Sometimes I think only about 100 me and Brother James, but somebody's still hungry for the Word of God. Amen? I look around, I see a faithful bride. Amen. I see the church growing more and more faithful. That's what I see. A faithful bride. You know what I see? Boy, I see the grace of God. Boy, I look around, I look at my life, I see the grace of God. Every time I talk to somebody and witness to somebody, brother, and you're talking to somebody about coming to church, I got to witnessing that boy yesterday, and I got to thinking about my life, and I thought, the grace of God. Every time it seemed like it was all over, there was a period right there, but in the middle of that period is the grace of God. Amen. One career ended, grace of God. Another career started. Had a little trouble. Grace of God. Something else start. Grace of God. And it just, hey, that's what life is full of starts and stops, isn't it? We're a transitional people, aren't we? I preached on that the other week. We're the transitional people. I see families. I see families that God's transformed. Boy, there's folks here today, and I'm not even going to look up for fear that you will try to figure out where my eyes are going, but there's families in this church that 6 months ago I wouldn't give a nickel for you. But you know what happened? God did something. God did something. God did something. You say, well, why don't God help every family? Well, sometimes you're unequally yoked together to begin with, and what God has to do is God has to say, all right, it's kind of like him wheat and them tares, and he says, I come over here this morning, And two of these blooms had all withered and died away. And you know what I did? I had to come over here and I said, well, let's see. We can fix that. Let's see. Looking better already. You see, God sometimes will have to do some trimming on a family to get that family where it can really serve God. You know what these dead things will do? These dead things are still drawing energy. They're drawing the nutrients that the live part of the plant needs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The ones that was for, you got it.
Right.
I've seen too many good, love God, wanting to serve God Christians get dehydrated by either a lost person
right.
or a carnal mate.
And I tell you what, to get them out of the house of God, to get the young'uns out of the house of God, and before long they're writing checks and their life will never be able to pay. Well, I see families that God's transformed. You know something else I see? I still see young men going out. I still see young men going out. There's a fellow going to, what's the name of that place Brother Holloway's going? I want to say Sanssouci. South Sudan, I want to say Sanssouci. That's where my sister used to live in Greensboro, Sanssouci Apartments. The South Sudan. It's the newest country in the world, right? Just opened up to missionaries. The leaders of the country said the only thing that will make our country thrive is the Word of God. They are begging for Bible preaching missionaries to come. And this little fellow, man, he runs around like the world's on fire, and all he's got is two wet handkerchiefs, and he's trying to put it out. His name is Jeremy Holloway. We're going to get him to come. I want you to hear him. I want you to hear him. I look at that young man, I look at that young family, and I thought, man, he's going to go do something for God. He's really going to go do something for God. He's got a burden in his heart so strong, stronger than I've seen in a long time. He's going to do something for God. And I look around. You know, some people look around and see all them preachers that quit. Yep. Running around on their wives and stole money from the church and all these things and busted churches up and left them worse than they was. And I look, you know what I see? I see young men like Jeremy Holloway.
Yep. That's right.
Yep. You say, you really think? No, I don't think it. I know it. So how do you know? Because God's already got it deposited in heaven. I'm looking at things that ain't as though they already are.
Right.
You know, I look. And I see the earth lining up for one final conflict. Hey, I tell you what, this thing's winding down. You hear preachers say, I've been hearing preachers say that the Lord's coming back. They did the same thing in Paul's day. Guess what? The Lord's coming back, friend. I believe He's coming back real soon. Paul said, I believe He's coming back in my lifetime. You know what? I believe He's coming back in my lifetime. You better be ready. You better be ready. Your times are running out. I thought about when I got that news about Donnie Chapman getting killed unexpectedly last night. I thought about the time that I went out and God put a burden on my heart for His brother Lamar. And I went out there and it was pouring down rain. And Lamar was showing me something out there. He was trying to sell me something. Lamar's kind of like a Sanford and Son kind of guy. He's kind of got a bunch of junk. You know, rednecks gravitate to junk. Can you say amen right there? And we was out there in this store, and it was pouring down rain. And that little building was leaking all around. He showed me what he had there, and he had a big commercial table saw, and I couldn't really use it because it was too big for the place I had and all this and that. And it run on 220, and I didn't really want to go through all that and all them headaches, but the point is this right here. We stood there for a little while, and I'd been friends with Lamar for years, and Donnie's brother, by the way. I'd been friends with Lamar for years, and God had put a heavy burden on my heart, and I was just standing there. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if it died right now, would you go to heaven or hell? And he dropped his head, and he began to weep. He said, I'm pretty sure I can go to hell, John. And there in just a little while, I led him to Christ. And I got to thinking about that yesterday when Laura texted me about Donnie. But I never was close to Donnie like I was Lamar, like I am to Lamar. Still, I still feel like he's a close friend. God really touched my heart that day. You see, if we don't see with the eyes God wants us to see, we'll not see the opportunities God has for us. And I tell you what, when I say it's winding down, I mean it's winding down. I mean, we're closer now than we've ever been. You say, well, what if Korea shoots that missile over here and it hits California? Well, it's going to trigger a nuclear war.
Yep, yep.
And it won't be enough ground left to stand on when it's over with.
Right, yep.
Now, if you're a prepper and you got an underground bunker, don't invite me. I don't want to come. Because if it happens, it's just going to hasten me to heaven anyways.
Right.
You say, you must be crazy. Hey, I am a little bit. You can finally find paperwork somewhere that says I am. And you wouldn't have to look very hard. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, whatever you need this morning, God's already got it. Why don't you start living like you already got it?
I heard tell of a man done this, and I don't know if I'd recommend it or not, but it makes good sense, and it goes along with the verse. He said he'd applied for this job, Brother James. He said he had a job making minimum wage, but he'd had a real good job before making like $10, $15 an hour. Now he's working minimum wage job. And he had an opportunity and had a real good hot lead on getting another one of $10, $15 a dollar an hour jobs. And he felt so strongly that God was going to give him that job on that minimum wage job, he went ahead and started tithing like he would tithe if he was making $15 an hour. You say, that's crazy. Well, he got that job because God already had it on deposit. But by faith, he said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and start proceeding accordingly. I'm going to proceed accordingly. You say, that's crazy, preacher. People can't do that. The Bible's full of people that do stuff like that. I'm going to tell you something. If you have faith, God's not going to take your faith and throw it in your face and laugh at you. The world will. Your family will. But God won't. God won't. Hey, I've seen my wife tithe our money when I said, I ain't got enough money to buy nabs. And she's tithing. Listen to me real good now. I ain't got enough money to buy a pack of nabs. I go to work every day and I see men go out to eat. And I said, no, that's all right. I ain't hungry. I lied. I ain't got no money to go out and eat. But my wife fixed me a lunch. What are you saying, preacher? What are you trying to say, preacher? I saw her tied like that. And then one of them times when you just said, I don't know what the world, this is crazy. I don't know what we're going to do. She just keeps giving that money to that church. What are we going to do? How are we going to feed our family? You know, that's what I didn't say it out loud now. Come on now, listen to me real good. We got it in our heart. We think in our little pea brains that God can't hear me if I don't say it out loud. God already knows your heart. Amen. Dummy. Guess what? Go to the mailbox. It gives certificates to Food Line in there. God touched somebody's heart. There's been times when we just go and just go and just go and just go till, I mean, it just seemed like there wasn't no more go left in us. And I've been out with preachers before and sit down in a restaurant, sit down to eat, and knew that whatever that meal was going to cost was all I had in my pocket. And get ready to check out and say, can I get my ticket? He said, somebody's already paid it. Who was it? I don't have any idea. They just come by on the way out, paid it, and left. He said, what are you trying to say, preacher? Why don't you live? Can I say this without y'all going out of here today and labeling me a total nut? Why don't you live according to your inheritance?
That's right.
We live below our pedigree, by the way. I'll say one more thing, and I don't mean this in a bad way, and you listen to me real close. A lot of people I know that are saved, that have access to God, are living like trailer trash when they don't have to. And if you live in a trailer, that's fine. My daughter lives in a trailer. I'll probably end up in a trailer before I die. I don't think there's nothing wrong with living in a trailer, but you know what I'm saying when I say trailer trash. By the way, My wife had a school teacher in high school that said me and her wasn't going to never be nothing but white trailer trash. Because we got engaged in high school. They said, go ahead, you ain't going to be nothing but white trailer trash. You're going to have a house full of young and single, raggedy old single wide trailer. All you're going to ever have. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Amen. Hallelujah. I might end up living in a camper trailer for it's over with, but guess what? I'll still have Jesus. And what He needs is on deposit this morning. Let's all have our eyes closed and our heads bowed this morning. I do not know what you need this morning. I do not know. You may be sitting there this morning and say, boy, the preacher didn't lay down a bunt. He didn't hit a home run. He got thrown out at first base. That was the sorest message. That's, if he calls that preaching, everybody's a preacher. Well, you believe what you want to. That's what God wanted me to preach. If He didn't want me to preach it, I wouldn't have had the liberty I had to preach it. But I got news for you today. Whatever you need, God's got it. You say, I need a job, preacher. I need a job bad. God's got one. Have you asked Him yet? You say, my family's all messed up, preacher. My youngins, I'm worried about my youngins. I don't know. I don't know if my, I don't want us to be separated. I'm going to heaven. I don't know about my youngins, preacher. What am I going to do? You ought to come ask God about it this morning. You see, hey, there was a time, God gave me a message this week on if these walls could talk. And I used to come, boy, I'd preach like I preached, like I just preached. I wouldn't even get the invitation out and the altar would be full. I wonder what happened. Are we living below our pedigree?